Hello and welcome to WrestleWolf, brother dudes and dudettes. This is our weekly, your weekly, recap and review of AEW's Rampage, their Friday night show, which next week will be going up against SmackDown. And holy shit, man. After a Mark Henry interview, we're straight into it. We've got Punk's music hits. He's back in the tights, which I love. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I'm into it. Was that a Michael Jordan pin on his hoodie as well, by the way, after his little Michael Jordan comment last week? Did someone give him a Michael Jordan pin? I love Punk getting two near falls in like the first 30 seconds of this match. Jericho and Taz are wiping the floor with JR on commentary here. They're putting over Punk. They're putting over Daniel Garcia. They're putting over AEW. Like, they're just doing everything the color commentators should be doing and also having just a lot of fun in the process. And that comes across as well. There was some real aggressiveness and ring smarts coming across here from CM Punk in the early stages of the match. Garcia is also selling being young and confused really well as well, which is difficult because it can come across as overacting, but he was really doing good stuff here. 2.0 are doing really good behind the ref's back heel work, smashing Punk's knee into the ring post, which Garcia does as well. They're sort of taking in turns of smashing Punk's knee into the ring post, which is a story that's being told here. Garcia continues to work on Punk's left knee in ring. A lot of submission moves and mat moves. Punk gets the face comeback. He leaps from the top rope out onto the concourse, onto the three of them. Then he gets Garcia back in the ring, hits a tombstone, and then an Anaconda Vice to get the win. No GTS, no big move. I really like that Punk uses a mat wrestling move to beat a young and up-and-coming mat wrestler, just to show that he's the big dog in the yard, you know? Leo Rush is looking to manage Dante Martin. He's in an interview with Tony Schiavone here, and Matt Sydal doesn't think that he's for real. Doesn't think that Leo Rush is a good thing for Dante Martin. Leo says that he'll get Sydal a match with CM Punk, and Sydal just turns into Gil from The Simpsons. He's like, "Oh man, if you can get me that, then everything would come together for me." And oh well. And at this news completely flips, and I feel like this is a setup for Leo to make Sydal look stupid and basically try and kick him to the curb so he can have Dante Martin all to himself and make that money. This promo shows the worth of Leo Rush as a manager in one promo. I'm invested in Matt Sydal's storyline. I don't think that's happened since 2012. So this was all great. The Acclaimed are back in prime time. They're so fucking great. There's just so much confidence between the two of them. They will be AEW Tag Team Champions at some point. Lucha Bros are next. They get down to the ring. The Acclaimed jump Lucha Bros before the bell. Rey Fénix leaping in face first into the boombox of Anthony Bowens was a cool little spot. This was a super kick party of a match. There was a good, solid match. Really enjoyed it. The Lucha Bros get the win. I don't think this match hurts the Acclaim too much at all. They need to earn a bit more respect from the audience. You can just tell from the pops that were coming from the audience when both tag teams came to the ring. The Lucha Bros are the top tag team in AEW at the moment, but they've earned that. They've earned that through 2 years of just unbelievable wrestling. but the Acclaimed will get there. Next up, we've got Jay Cargill. She's got a very Arn Anderson type theme, I just noticed today. It's like, oh man, that sounds a lot like Arn's theme. Jade's angry that Sky Blue exists for some reason. She's just like, ah, this is a pain in the ass. I have to wrestle this kid. Who the hell is she? I know Sky Blue is a baby, literally. I mean, I think she's like 18, 19 years old or something like that. And this is her first match in AEW. I feel like the squash was a little harsh. For the match to go for a minute and a half just felt a bit, especially when you had her in the TNT, the TBS belt promo. I think there's more to the story than this. Sky Blue is a prospective signing from Tony Khan, so I don't think they're going to use her as squash bait, but yeah, it was just a bit like, oh. Anyway, Jade wins. She kicks Sky after the bell. Thunder Rosa screams down the ramp for the save, and Cargill buggers off. Apparently, Thunder Rosa's been carrying around this chair the whole week, because Excalibur said, that's the chair that Jade Cargill used on Thunder Rosa. So Thunder Rosa's been carrying this chair around in her luggage through airport security and stuff for the last week so she can use it tonight. Anyway, I just thought that was a funny little bit. Brian Cage and Ricky Starks cut a promo with Mark Henry. The lighting and everything with this looks so much like WCW Saturday Night. It's not funny. Like, Saturday Night, like 95, 96, just prior to NWO era WCW. Absolutely unbelievable. And it's not a bad thing. It's just interesting to be able to tag TK's influences, Tony Khan's influences. Brian Cage is an interesting guy, right? Like 12 months ago, you could have made a case for him having a title run, maybe. I know Matt spoke about it and is a big fan of him. You never say never. But I think those days might be over for Cage in AEW. In fact, I think you could make a good case for him being maybe one of the first guys to jump ship the other way from AEW to WWE. I don't think he's being treated badly. I mean, he's in the main event here, but I just don't know. I mean, anyway. Starks attacks Brian with a chair as he gets in the ring. Cage is onto it and throws Stark across the ring, then hits him with the chair himself. A little bit later on, Brian Cage brings a whole bunch of stuff into the ring. Starks gets his hands onto it first and hits Cage with a pull cue shot with a pull cue straight to the temple. Ricky essentially has the upper hand here for a long time. He's hitting Cage with everything, bin lids, steel bars, chairs. Cage gets back in the match basically because Starks is posing around the ring. Cage hits a super kick that gets him back in, and then he front face body slams Starks into a rubbish bin, which is set up in the middle of the ring. Team Taz decide enough is enough. They get involved here. They run down. Hook tries to hit Cage with the FTW title. Cage ducks it. He gets rid of Hooks and Hobbs, but Starks now has the belt and hits Cage across the head with it. And then from here, it's basically all Team Taz. The other boys hit Cage with some low blows and hard hits to the head. Starks hits the Rambo Joe, it's 1-2-3 for Starks, who's now covered in blood and still the FTW champ. This was a really good episode of Rampage, just as good as Dynamite. Really enjoyed it. Thought the Punk Garcia match was fantastic. I thought this last match was really good as well. Everything held my attention. Excalibur talks about it being the quickest hour of professional wrestling on earth, and it really is. There were essentially four matches on this card. All of them were interesting and great to watch. I don't know about Jade Cargill Sky Blue, actually. It's a squash match, but still the storyline that was told there was interesting. So yeah, really good episode. Really enjoyed it. Not much else to add. It'll be interesting to see what the ratings are between SmackDown and Rampage next week. Tony Khan's on Twitter, basically throwing barbs at WWE, which I think might be if they don't win, it'll blow up in their face. I mean, there is an element of like, who cares, right? Like you know, you're just hyping up the shows and blah, 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 blah. But he's got some balls, Khan, at times, you know what I mean? Where you're like, fuck, man, I wouldn't be doing that if I was you. But anyway, it doesn't really matter because the shows are good. Just a, you know, I'm not a big proponent of WWE, but they are, their weekly shows are now on Binge, on the streaming service Binge here in Australia. So if you want to catch up on them, I think they're on like a 24 or 48 hour delay or something because of the actual pay TV agreement that was signed with WWE, but you can watch them. I think it's early Wednesday morning for Raw and early Sunday morning for SmackDown or something along those lines, which is not ideal, but you know, for $14 a month, you know, it's not too bad. Yeah. And you can watch Supergirl on there as well. Like the big cool guy that I am. All right. I'm going to leave that there, guys. Until next time. Oh, the draft episode will be out tomorrow. We recorded that today. Lots of fun. So really good. Big, long bumper episode there for you guys with me and Matt just talking shit, basically, while we play a game of fantasy wrestling. And but anyway, until next time, brother dudes and dudettes, may your wrestling be good wrestling, and good night.